darkest night, a dawn of hope, a guiding light. There is a help in helpless plight. It's in His name. It's in His name. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name.
There is an all-sufficient in His name. There is a promise for each need. I'll be led to intercede. A tender voice to cheer and lead. It's in His name.
It's in His name. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. His name is Jesus, and He's ever the same.
There is an arm when fear assails.
There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in His name. It's in His name. Oh, how I
for that good song this morning. That was really, really good. Here you go. You want these words there, Dave. Thank you. I was thinking, though, while they were singing, Connor, they don't ever let you and Nathan sing. What's up with that, man? Huh? I'm going to tell you. Probably the two best in the whole bunch. You got to sit on the bench, I guess. But that's the replacements. Amen? That's right. They're the bench warmers. They'll be coming on to sing. All right, look down with me. We haven't read the Scripture, so begin with me looking at verse number 8, Ephesians 3. Paul says, "Unto me, speaking of himself, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." I was going to read verses 11 and 12, but we'll stop for time's sake right there. And I want to speak to you quickly on this subject today. Don't look now, but somebody is watching. Don't look now, but somebody is watching. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray that You'll please help me to convey this truth to the people this morning. It's a wonderful and blessed day, Lord, for us to be here as a church family and celebrate these years. And we're thankful, God, for Your grace that's kept us in this place. And we just ask You, Spirit of God, that You would come now and do what the work that only You can do in hearts. And we do realize that it will only be taking place because of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the good song we just heard. And all that's in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray this prayer this morning. And amen. Have you ever been in a place with family or friend a place where there were many other people, and you caught someone looking at you, and you said to the one or people, the ones with you, don't look now, but somebody's watching us. Somebody's watching us. You know, once or twice, I guess, over the years, I can remember being with my wife in certain places, maybe out to eat, and those expensive places that have the golden arches, you know, or something like that, and saying to her, you know, seeing somebody looking, and I would say to her, don't turn around, don't look now, but sometime look over your left shoulder. There's a man over there, and he has been looking at us. So maybe you can identify with that. You've been in a situation where you caught somebody looking at you. Now, based on what Paul told this church in Ephesus, this book right here, Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, written to the church in Ephesus, okay, where Istanbul is today, over in Turkey, all right? So he wrote this letter to this church, and based on what Paul told the church in Ephesus, I can say to Faith Baptist this morning that somebody is watching us. The truth is, several somebodies are watching us. And I'm not talking about Jesus, God the Father, or God the Holy Spirit. I'm not even talking about people, other people on earth, although they're mentioned in here. I'm talking about the group that Paul said was watching the church at Ephesus. Now, I want you to notice, verse number 8, Paul mentions the grace that God has given to him to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We read it there. Look at it again. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Paul was called by God to and given grace to preach Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Can I be just a bit personal for a moment? You know, this is a special, special day. In many ways, not only are we celebrating the birthday of the church, 47 years of age this morning, but today is when I had my first Sunday 26 years ago as pastor of Faith Baptist Church here in Bourbonnais. It was the first Sunday in June, 26 years ago, 1990. And Brother Temple, one of the hardest things our family ever did was to leave Marion Avenue. That was like, it was not a leaving, it was a ripping, it was a tearing. But I must say, brother, after being here now these 26 years, I can't imagine being anywhere else. I have no other place I want to go. No other pulpit I'd rather preach in than this one right here. And the church that God has given us here. And also, 40 years ago this month, sometime in the month of June, 1976, God called me to preach. 40 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. I remember the exact date of my salvation. I don't remember the exact date of my call to preach. It was a Sunday. It was somewhere outside of Jacksonville, Florida, in a service where Brother Mike took us, and we were there for the pre-service service on Sunday night. And the young man preached, and during that service, God called me to preach. I told my wife this week, if I know anything, I know we were headed to the funeral, Brother Johnson's mother's funeral down at Rantoul. I said, honey, you know, if I know one thing, as much as I know I'm sitting in this car right now on Friday morning, June the whatever it was, the 3rd, and riding with you to Rantoul, I know God called me to preach. I know it. It's not a speculation. I know God called me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I feel like the Apostle Paul. He said he was less than the least of all saints, and yet he knew that God had called him. And that's exactly how I feel this morning. I'm nobody special. I am not a special Christian. And I have a wife and children and children's spouses in this room this morning. Listen to me speak. They know me. They've lived with me. They're currently living with me. So they're listening today. I am not a special Christian. I am nobody special. I am less than the least of all the saints, but I know that God has given me the grace to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I say that to His glory this morning. And Paul said he was given the grace to preach Christ among the Gentiles. Do you see that in verse number 8? That I should preach among the Gentiles. Now, there were both Jews and Gentiles in the church at Ephesus. My speculation is, being Ephesus, there were probably more Gentiles than Jews in the church at Ephesus. And this was still pretty much a new thing Jesus Christ had not been crucified and buried and risen again very long. It was written about A.D. 62, 63, 64. So this was still a very new thing, watch it, that Jews and Gentiles would assemble together. Before, they never were allowed to be together. And it was really kind of a new thing still that Gentile people could even be saved. During the ministry of Jesus Christ, a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman, came to Jesus for some help, and He told her, I can't help you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And He called her a dog. That's how the Gentiles were viewed. And she went on to plead her case, and in mercy, Jesus helped her. But this thing of the Gentiles, and by the way, unless you are of Jewish blood this morning, you are a Gentile. I am a Gentile. So this thing of Gentiles being saved, and Jews and Gentiles together in the same assembly, the same church, being baptized and added to the same church. And by the way, there were no sacrifices being offered. There were no animals being killed. There was no priest with an altar who was taking blood and applying it to something and burning a body of a dead animal on an altar. There was none of that going on. This was something pretty new. And what the deal was, the message that Paul was preaching to Jew and Gentile alike was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ when He came to this earth and died for sinners and died for mankind and paid the sin debt. That's the message that Paul was preaching. And Jews were being saved and Gentiles were being saved. And it was all, and they were together and being baptized and added to the church. And Paul said that all of that was the result of him being able to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And by the way, folks, let me just pause for a second to say they are unsearchable riches. Are you in Christ this morning? Are you saved? Are you born into God's family? Have you trusted in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to save your sinful soul? Not a church. Not baptistry waters. But the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've trusted Christ this morning, you are rich in Jesus. You're rich in Jesus. Now, you may or may not have a lot of things in the way of material possessions here on earth, but if you're saved, you're in Jesus, and Christ is rich in mercy. He's rich in power. He's rich in love. He's rich in grace. He's rich in comfort. He's rich in wisdom. He's rich in righteousness. He is just rich, and glory to God, because we're in Christ, we're rich with Him. In ways unsaved people aren't rich. The unsearchable riches of Christ. He talks about that in verse 8. Then verse number 9. Paul says, look at it here. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul says that what God has done to bring Jew and Gentile in the same assembly or church is a testimony to all men, to people on earth. Look what it says in verse 9. And to make all men see. So, people were watching the church at Ephesus. And you know what? The honest truth of the matter is, they were surprised. They were surprised at how really different people could assemble together and have a real love for each other. They were shocked that Jews and Gentiles could get together in the same place called the church and get along. They were shocked that rich and poor met together. They were shocked that, if you will, masters and servants, Monday through Saturday, came together on Sunday to a local assembly, and it was like they were all on level ground. It was just incredible. And so men in other places were watching this church. This was a testimony to people who were on earth. But, in verse number 10, Paul tells about another group who was watching. And it's about halfway, here it is, the very beginning of the verse. To the intent that now, watch this, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church or because of the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now that's interesting. Stop. The principalities and powers in heavenly places might know. Principalities and powers in heavenly places might know the manifold wisdom of God by watching the church at Ephesus? Who is he talking about? Who are these principalities and powers that are watching from heavenly places the church at Ephesus? And by watching the church at Ephesus, they're learning about the wisdom of God. Well, people, this is a reference to the angels. You can find a reference to them in Ephesians chapter 1. Don't turn to it. We don't have time. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Paul was talking about the power of God, that raised Jesus from the dead and set him on the throne, watch it, far above principalities and powers, talking about the angels. In chapter 6, same book, Paul talks about the principalities and powers, but this time it's in a negative sense, talking about the devils, the bad angels. You see, folks, the angelic creation is huge. It's innumerable. Some of them are good angels, some of them are bad angels. And Paul talks about the principalities and powers. He's referring to the angels, of the created angels of God. And in chapter 3, verse 10, this is a reference to the good angels in heaven, or heavenly places. They were watching the church at Ephesus. They were watching this assembly of God's people. And by watching this church at Ephesus, the angels could learn about the wonderful wisdom of God and the wonderful power of God and the wonderful love of God. Understand, folks, that when the angels were observing the church at Ephesus, they saw Jews and Gentiles getting saved. They saw Jews and Gentiles getting baptized. They saw Jews and Gentiles joining together in the church and becoming members with each other in the same church with a love for each other that defied comprehension and reason. And when the angels in heaven observed that church, they understood the eternal purpose God had in sending Jesus to the earth. The purpose of sending Jesus to the earth was so He could die. I've said this before, so I don't just belabor it abundantly. But Jesus, when He came to the earth, He healed the sick. But folks, He did not come mainly to heal the sick. He raised some dead people. That's wonderful. But when Jesus came to this earth, He came to die. And He came to be buried. And He came to be raised from the dead. And that's why He came. And when Jesus died and was buried and rose again, on the cross, Jesus said as He was dying, "It is finished." Did not mean that His life was over. We would never see or hear from Jesus again. Because 3 days and three nights later, He rose from the grave. 40 days later, He ascended to heaven. One of these days, He's coming back. When He said, "It is finished," now watch this. When He said, "It is finished," what He was saying is, this is it. This is the last sacrifice for sin. You're not going to have to kill another animal. You're not going to have to kill another goat. You're not going to have to kill another lamb. You're not going to have to kill another sheep. The blood of those animals could only cover sin for a period of time. But the precious blood of Jesus could take sin away, wash it away, remove it as far as the east is from the west, bury it under the very depths of the deepest part of the sea. And you know what, folks? The angels didn't know that. And they're watching all down through, watch me now, the angels are watching all the way down through 4,000 years of Old Testament history. And they're watching animal after animal after animal after animal be sacrificed and their blood shed. The power of that blood can only cover the sin for a year. 4,000 years. They didn't know what was going on. Then Jesus comes. And the truth of the matter is, I believe with all my heart that when Jesus left heaven, it was difficult on the angels. Because I believe the angels in heaven sang His praises. I believe they worshiped Him. I believe they adored Him. I believe they praised Him from the time that they were created. Those angelic beings, part of their ministry and work and responsibility was around the throne of God where Jesus Christ sat at the right hand of His Father. And those angels praised. And I believe Jesus was the darling of heaven. And when God sent His Son Jesus to the earth, the angels are going, "What in the world's happening? Why is He leaving? Why is God sending Him? Why is Jesus leaving the right hand of the Father? Why is he going down to the womb of a virgin in Nazareth named Mary? People, the life of Jesus did not begin in that woman's womb. Jesus was part of the eternal Godhead from eternity past. But it took upon the form of a human. In Mary's womb, a little embryonic body, embryonic baby life there, if you will. And the angels are wondering, what's going on? What is all this about? And then for those 30 years, they watched Jesus grow up as a boy, as a teenager, as a young man, and working with his guardian there, Joseph, becoming a carpenter. And then they watched as Jesus begins to do public ministry. And they watched Jesus heal people. And they watched Jesus feed people. And they watched Jesus care for people. They watched Jesus love people. They watched Jesus hate sin. And then they see Jesus go to the cross. And there he dies. Before he dies, he says, it is finished. And then he's buried. And then 3 days and 3 nights later, he rises again. And then the angels see as people begin to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the fact that, you know what, now that Jesus' blood has been shed, now that the Lamb of God has died, we don't need an animal anymore. We don't need a lamb. We don't need a sheep. We don't need a goat, because God's Lamb came and God's Lamb died. And the blood of God's Lamb takes away sin forever. Forever. And the angels are going, now we got it. Now we got it. And now, not only now is it just for the children of Israel, it's for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles, it's for people who are religious but lost, it's for old destitute sinners, it's all for everybody. And the angels, they watch the church at Ephesus with wonder, they watch the church at Ephesus with awe, and they saw people from Jew and Gentile backgrounds getting saved and being baptized and added to the church. And the angels were happy and they were rejoicing. And friend, can I say to you that I believe the same is true today? I don't think that God put this in the Bible so that we could just know something that happened to the church at Ephesus. I believe God put this in the Bible because what was true about the church at Ephesus is true about Faith Baptist Church. I believe the angels are watching. I believe what happens in the local church down here, the angels in heaven, those principalities and powers in heavenly places are watching. And they're watching what happens here. And they're watching the activity and the work and the ministry of this church. And you take like last Sunday night at the end of the service, at the invitation time, a lady came forward and she said to Brother Mick, who was standing right down here, I need to be saved. And Brother Mick got Sharon, I believe it was, out of the pew and said, Sharon, can you show this lady how to be saved? And right down here where Michael and Miles are sitting this morning, that lady here was shown how to be saved. And I believe up there, the angels were observing as Sharon shared the gospel with that lady. And down here, right where they're sitting, she bowed her head and her heart to receive Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And I believe up there, the principalities and powers, once again, were able to witness the reason of why God sent Jesus to this earth. The wisdom and counsel of God that was from the very... it was from eternity past. They saw it again. And they shook hands with each other. In fact, they did more than shake hands with each other. When you get over to Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10, the Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Every time one person... by the way, that lady came back this morning for discipleship class and is planning to be baptized tonight, and that's a blessed thing, and I rejoice. And I want to tell you something, friend. Last Sunday night, when that dear lady bowed her heart and head to receive Jesus as her personal Savior, few of us knew it down here, but there was a whole host of principalities and powers up in heaven who started having a shout and fit and clapping and rejoicing and praising and saying, here it is. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus left heaven. This is why God sent Jesus. This is why God sent Him to die. This is why He was buried. This is why He rose again to finish up a perfect and a complete salvation. I'm just saying, hey, don't look now, church, but somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. Oh, I know God's watching. I know Jesus is watching. I know there are people on earth who watch a church, but I want to tell you something. There's a different crowd that's watching. It's the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And they see what's going on. And the more they watch and the more they observe in this New Testament church age, the more they are excited and blessed by the great wisdom and counsel of God who sent Jesus to this earth. You know, if you stop and think about it for a minute, When Jesus did come to the earth, the angels were pretty involved in His life. They sang the announcement of His birth to shepherds watching their flocks by night. In fact, one of the angels came to Joseph and one of the angels came to Mary before Jesus was born and said, look, this is okay. That little baby is special. That baby is conceived by the Holy Ghost. Angels were involved in the announcement of the birth of Christ. Angels tended to Jesus after He was tempted in the wilderness. Three times the devil tempted Him and tempted Him and tempted Him. It wore Him out. And He answered, it is written, it is written, it is written. He said, how could He wear God out? He was confined to a human body. And in His human body, He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And He fought off the temptation of Satan. And the angels came. He'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the angels came. And the Bible says they ministered to Him. And then as Jesus would preach sometimes, He would get so pointed in His preaching that the people He was preaching to wanted to kill Him. Now, in 26 years here, I've made some people mad. But I don't know if I've ever made anybody mad enough to kill me. I made somebody mad enough in Iowa one time, a teenager, and slashed one of my tires. Remember that? And my car got egged. But I don't ever remember here preaching so hard and so tough that people wanted to kill me. Maybe so. If you did, keep it to yourself. I don't want to know about it, all right? But they wanted to kill Jesus. And by the way, they tried to. And you know who ministered to Him? The angels of God. And the angels stood chomping at the bit. Chomping at the bit, watching as Jesus was arrested, falsely accused, found guilty, sentenced to die, was beaten, was smacked, was spit on, had his beard pulled out of his face, was scourged, was nailed to a cross, naked. They watched, just waiting and I believe hoping that He would say, help. Because He told Herod or He told Pilate, one of the two, pardon me. He told Herod or He told Pilate, I have 12 legions of angels that I could call right now. What can angels do? Read the Old Testament. They killed a bunch of God's enemies in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, I could call right now 10,000 angels who would be here in a split second, but He never called them. And they watched as the Savior died. And then 3 days and three nights later, a couple of those angels happily sat at the entrance of the tomb of Jesus. And as person after person came to that tomb, they were happy to say, He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. It's empty. He's not here. And then a few days later, they snuck up on a group of disciples out at the Mount of Olives, where the disciples were standing like this, gazing up into heaven. And they snuck up behind them in white. And they said to him, hey! Boy, don't you know they shook him up. Why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw ascend to heaven, one of these days is going to come again in clouds of glory. I'm telling you, friend, the angels are so wrapped up in the love and the appreciation and the adoration of Jesus Christ. And from Scripture, I don't know that the angels ever had the full knowledge of God's eternal purpose and God's eternal plan. They've learned it over the years as they have observed God saving people and changing lives. And I want to tell you, church, the angels rejoice every time someone is born into the family of God. And they're excited about the eternal purposes of God. And I say all that this morning to say to a couple of things. First of all, if you're here and you're like the lady that was sitting in the service last Sunday night and you're not born again, you're not saved, you're not sure that heaven is your home, the greatest thing you'll ever do for yourself, the greatest thing you'll ever do is to realize that Jesus loved you so much He came to this earth. And God loves you so much He sent His Son to this earth. And Jesus died and was buried and rose again to not just cover your sin, but to take it as far as the east is from the west. And come to Christ and be saved. Oh, that's the greatest thing you can do. Put your faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus and the shed blood. You say, how do I do that? We have an invitation time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have men standing down here. All you got to do is come to one of the two men standing down here this morning. Brother Bragg's on vacation. And just take the hand like the lady did last Sunday night. I need to be saved. We have men that can show men how to be saved. We have ladies that can show ladies and girls how to be saved. Take a Bible and show you the wonderful story that Christ died for you, was buried, rose again to pay your sin debt. Oh, I preach that for this reason this morning. And then I preach it for this reason too. Church, 47 years. Now listen. We are far, 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 far from perfect. We are far, 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 far from what we ought to be. Especially in light of all that Christ has done for us. But God's been mighty good to us. And He's kept the bills paid. And kept the doors open. And for those of you who don't know, this auditorium was built and the other part of this building completely gutted downstairs here and remodeled. And this parking lot just used to be just 50 cars maybe, and most of it dirt and gravel. God brought us here. And God gave us this and helped us pay for it in 7 years. And then God helped us across the road. And yes, I hate the debt, but it's coming down, 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 down. And God is helping us. And God has kept our bills paid and kept our missionaries supported and kept this church as a lighthouse and kept the windows, the doors open for people in the community. And I'm going to tell you something, church, it's not because we're so special. But it's because in some way, with God's help and by God's grace, we have continued as a church to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and the message of salvation. And we have taken it to the rich and the poor, to the white and the black, and the Hispanic and the Asian. In other words, if you're a person with a walking, you're a walking, living person with a soul, we've taken it to mentally handicapped adults, taken it to wealthy people and people who are stricken in poverty. Because it doesn't matter when it comes to salvation. Christ Jesus died for all men. And the very shape of that cross there that Jesus was nailed to, the vertical beam, indicating that God sent salvation down from heaven to earth. You don't work your way to heaven from earth. You don't work your way from earth to heaven. God sent salvation from heaven to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And then that horizontal beam, with Jesus' arms outstretched like this, indicating that the gospel of Christ is for whosoever will. For all we like sheep have gone astray. You say, well, I understand from what I've been hearing on the radio, that's your problem. Get into a church and turn your radio off. Well, I've been hearing on the radio that salvation is only for the elect. Well, you've been hearing wrong. Because Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Who is that? That's every person who's ever lived. Sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It starts with all and ends with all. And if you fit into the first all, you fit into the last all. It's for everybody. And this church, imperfect as it may be, and scoffers can find things wrong. And scorners can find things wrong. And you know what? Sometimes what they find wrong is wrong. And needs to be fixed. In my life, in your life. In our body collectively. But one thing we got to commit ourselves to and dedicate ourselves to is to continue to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Kankakeeland area. And take the gospel to whosoever will hear it and receive it. And not only will they get saved, some will get saved, but the angels in heaven will look down and like they did last Sunday night, rejoice and say, wow, now we got it all figured out once again. We see the eternal purpose of God from eternity past and the wisdom of God in why He sent His Son Jesus to the earth so that sinners could be saved. A home in heaven. Hey, church, don't look now. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. And I would encourage you to be involved some way in preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. Get you some gospel tracts, hand them out. Come on one of the organized times to spread the gospel and put a little time in. If you can't do that, talk to your neighbor. Talk to your coworker. Talk to your relative. Talk to the person you meet somewhere just by happen chance. Tell them about Christ. Give them a gospel tract. Let's keep preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, because we have an audience. Not here. Up there. The angels are watching. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this text and all that it teaches us. And Lord, thank You for the privilege of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And thank You for saving souls over these 47 years in this area. And God, would You please help us as a church to be faithful to that business of reaching out and sharing the gospel. And thank You for the unsearchable riches that are in Jesus Christ today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. So let me ask this morning, wonder if there's somebody here that would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. You talked about being saved and having your sins forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. I don't know this morning. Pastor, would you pray for me? I would love to if you'd just simply slip your hand up into the air. Could you slip your hand in the air? Let me pray for you this morning. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you. I see your hand. You're not sure that you're saved. All right? Maybe you misunderstood me. But if you don't know that you're saved, you're not sure, then you need to raise your hand. Let me pray for you just a moment here. Ask God to speak to your heart. And if you know that you're not, if you're unsure, you raised your hand, you meant it, I want to pray for you. And if you're not sure during the invitation time, like the lady last week, why don't you slip out of your pew? Come to one of the two men down here in the front and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. You say, that's embarrassing. That's radical. You know what? What Jesus did for you was pretty radical. He went to that cross, was hung there naked, suffering death and paying for sins he didn't commit. That's pretty radical. Why don't you come this morning when the music begins in just a moment and tell one of these men, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you are saved and you know that you're born again and you need to be baptized, then you come this morning and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And church, it's not really a message for a church to make a decision other than, please, let's stay committed to preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. Not just as a church policy, as a church responsibility, but let's stay committed to it personally. To having the opportunity when we can, when God gives it to us, of sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ with people. Because somebody's watching. The angels are watching. And they rejoice every time they see a sinner trust Christ and be saved. Father, I pray for any that lifted a hand this morning, or maybe that didn't, not sure of salvation. Would You please bring them with the work of the Holy Spirit drawing them to the Christ? Would You please bring them this morning? And then, Lord, would You please help our church to be faithful, dedicated, committed to the preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. The angels are watching. We want to do right. Well, first of all, we want to bring You honor and glory. But we understand this morning that the angels are watching what we do. Help us to be faithful to it, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. And if you're not sure you're saved, and you're not, just find your way out this morning. Tracy.